For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Cindy Burgess Gerson. What an amazing person. You can't have a burger without Berg. Megan Berg.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
And our super-duper premium sponsor, Kelly Grant, the most gorgeous girl in Texas. We love you. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous, amazing little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ronnie. How are you?
What's up, you little tiger?
I'm just excited. It's Thursday. It's the last day of November. Most importantly, tomorrow, tickets go on sale for our Boston show, which is at the Sinclair in Boston. Actually, I think it might be technically in Cambridge. That's on January 20th. And then 1 month later, February 20th, we're doing a show at the Bowery Ballroom, the legendary Bowery Ballroom in New York City, which is amazing. So we got a Boston show. We got a New York show. We have a Houston show, which is almost halfway sold out at this point. And that's at Warehouse Live. That's March 9th. That's three shows coming up. You know what, Ronnie? Should we just add a fourth city to this madness?
Hell yeah. Let's just give ourselves something to do once a month, fucker.
Yeah, okay. Guess what? April 4th, Washington, D.C., the D.C. Improv. Tickets on sale tomorrow. Also, bitches.
Bitch! We're finally going to come to D.C. We've been wanting to. We've been trying. And, man, the D.C. people who live in D.C., you guys aren't messing around. You're like, you're coming. You're coming.
Well, the D.C. and the Boston people were about to, like, tear each other apart. They're like, Boston next. D.C. next. Boston next. D.C. next. And they're like,
why? I love
some
energy.
Yeah, they were, but like, listen, we can all get along because we can all go everywhere. So, DC is officially added onto the list. Those tickets go on sale 10 a.m. All these venues are using different ticket people. So, the best thing will be to go to watchwhatcrappens.com, and we'll have links to the various shows, tomorrow. So that way you can get your tickets. And just like the other places with DC, there will be some VIP tickets, and those will include preferred seating and pre-show meet and greet. And then in terms of our New York show, we are having we're trying to get some confirmations with the venue. So there is a chance that the tickets will not be ready to go on sale tomorrow. So just brace for that, okay? Just stay tuned to our social media. Yeah, we're still going to come, but just stay tuned to our social media, okay? Because if it gets the tickets go on sale date gets delayed, you need to know, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's January, Boston, February, New York, March, Houston, April, D.C.
D.C. Okay. And you know what? There may be even something in May. We'll have to get back to you guys on that next week. So, it's like once a month.
It's amazing that we're planning on doing stuff at the time where I'm going to be complaining about it being hot again. Like, I can't believe that's already in our thoughts.
Well, we are also, we are imbeciles for booking a Boston show in January. What are we thinking?
Yeah, I don't even have a jacket. I have like a lame-ass little windbreaker I got at Marshall's just so I could use it on my scooter. That ain't going to help.
Well, if it's cold, we're going to go and get some hot chowder.
Some chowder.
Oh, I'm that's not even a joke. I'm like, we're going to get chowder, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of heavy cream soups. basically.
We're
going to
go. We're going to walk around. I'm going to hide my New York roots when I'm around all the Red Sox and Patriots fans. And we're just going to have just a great time. I think, Ronnie, you're going to put a number up against the glass window and say, how do you like them apples, right?
Yes, I'm going to be very Goodwill Hunting.
Good Ronnie Hunting.
Good
and then when we're
Hunting.
Done with the show, we're just going to like get on the road and drive on an endless highway while the credits roll.
Goodwill Rondel. So we're super excited. We're going to be going on tour all year. So hopefully we'll have something at least once a month through 2019. So if you want your city, just let us know. We're going to try and come. We've got some requests for Atlanta and
Seattle. A lot of Seattle people are chiming up. But by the way, if you want your voice to be heard, don't message us on social media about this stuff because it's going to get lost. Email us at watchwhatcrappens@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you know of a venue,
especially if you have like a friend who's a manager or something like that, or you know someone, that really helps because when we just send an email to these places out of the blue, a lot of times they're like, what, huh? So what? Having a connection helps us. Huh? What's the matter? What's
like,
going
seriously?
On?
What?
Seriously, what's an email? Like a Gmail? Like what's that? Gmail? Huh?
Yeah.
Like
so,
email?
Huh? All that stuff is coming up. Also, we'll have coffee mugs available in the Amazon store next week. So
Woo! Get
ready for Christmas, y'all. And wine glasses
also,
should be up in a week or 2 weeks. So find that all at watchwhatcrappens.com. And in the meantime, let's all gather around the fire for some
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Ooh, there's a tingling warmth in my chest right now, and it's not just the iced coffee that our listener Daniela sent us the coffee beans for. No, the tingling feeling is knowing that the Posh Fashion Show is just on the horizon.
Oh, and isn't it posh?
Yes.
I was like, wow, those fashions haven't been seen since the El Paso fucking junior high. Colorado High School pre-prom or whatever. It's like, where are you getting these fashions? It's like silk, see-through on top, skin tight with, like some satin skirts. What is happening, Posh? Come on.
You know, I was thinking about, I've been in this mind space for the past 2 weeks about certain elements of Bravo lore that just get the listeners... they just make us laugh. And like it's like a giant inside joke, right? Because when we saw the Erica Jane thing with Brian Moylan, when Erica Jane said that Dorinda brought her to the Regency, the entire audience cracked up and started like clapping. And to me, I was thinking about how funny is it that the Regency, just uttering the word the Regency, will make an entire audience of superfans laugh because it's so loaded. There's so much behind that, right? Like Luann and Tom, and then there are certain places or events that happen on Bravo, especially on the Real Housewives shows, but probably Vanderpump Rules or Southern Charm, that just create that, like that sense of recognition and laughter. It's like that inside joke that we all know and love. And I would love at one point to do like a list of our top 10 favorite like events or locations. And I think the Posh Fashion Show has to be up there. It's like one of those iconic things that the mere mention of Posh Fashion Show, it's like everyone knows what that implies, what that means, what its history is. And I love that. That's why I think
Kim
one of the best parts of being a super fan.
Some shit. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Now, last year, Melissa tried to circumvent the whole Posh thing and it actually worked because she's, she's not envious of anybody's life, but her own. So
that was,
and
that was bullshit because the Posh Fashion Show was reduced to being like a small anecdote in the season. And the Posh Fashion Show needs to have its moment. It is an episode. It is a celebration. It is part of the Real Housewives of New Jersey season. There always has to be the Posh Fashion Show episode. And the fact that last season it was reduced to a segment at the 30-minute mark is not right.
Yeah, and Melissa lost this year, so yay to that, because they brought it back. Because no one can highlight the terrible fashions of New Jersey at the same time highlighting the terrible inner fashions of New Jersey as Kim D, because she'll throw anybody under the bus. She don't even care. It's like the posh store is basically a bus just waiting to roll over somebody. It's like a strip mall mobile home that's just ready to fucking run anybody over that is not giving her the attention she needs at the moment.
Well, I mean, the best part about the Posh Fashion Show is the fact that it is a fashion show for like a shitty boutique, like, you know, in the hinterlands of Franklin Lakes, you know, like the fact that it has a prestige fashion show once a year is so hilarious. And we've gotten used to the fact that there's a fashion show for Posh, but it's like going down the street and seeing like Tinkles and Boots, you know, which is what I imagine a store in Larchmont Village is like here in Los Angeles. There's probably one called Tinkles and Boots. And there's like, guess what? It's the Tinkles and Boots fashion show. As if it's up there with, you know, Diane von Furstenberg.
Yes. I mean, like if they had a Ross Dress for Less fashion show, it would it would look like Fashion Week compared to this. I mean, the Posh Fashion Show is the only fashion show, I think, in the world that you can actually order garlic bread while the show is going on.
Well, it brings new meaning to the term Fashion Week, spelled W-E-A-K. I would love it if Kelly Catrone showed up one year. It's fucking Fashion Week. They should have Kel on. They should bring back Kel on Earth and have her
cry outside.
Do the seating charts for Posh Fashion Show.
I will talk never about forget Kel on Earth. Cry outside if you're gonna cry.
One of the great one season wonders on Bravo, Kel on Earth. I think it gets forgotten whenever we you know, are like every 3 months when we reminisce on the Gallery Girls and Game of Crowns and Princesses Long Islands of the world. Kel on Earth deserves to be in that mix.
It sure does.
Highly, yeah.
But, you know, there are other, you know, horribly dressed people with really greasy hair that we can concentrate on besides Kel. And those are the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Now, for some reason, and thank God this isn't the truth, but I opened up Real Housewives of Orange County Reunion Part 2 notes. I was like, wait a minute. What is Shannon doing here? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you have anything to fit me here, Kim. Glad I came.
Well, you know what? I hear that David's having an affair. Oh, God, my Kim D voice is the same as my Siggy voice. I need to fix this. It's going to be more. Oh, horse! That's my Kim D.
Yes,
Kim D. Shannon, heard you're rekindling an old flame. I wouldn't blame you. David treated you horribly with those Spartan races.
I'll tell you what else is Spartan. David's mistress. That bitch wasn't wearing anything when I saw us.
By the way, I was reading something online. I'm like crazy today. I apologize. But I was reading something online and someone was like, watch what crappens. They have the worst impersonations. I just don't get it. They're not funny. I'm like, yeah, they're not good impersonations. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like, thank you. Thank you. You know, you got it right.
We're not impersonating their actual voices. Okay. We're impersonating their hearts. So how dare you? How dare you?
I'm just trying to make
Madam
Ronnie laugh. At the end of the day, as I always say, this show is about two things: trying to recapture what it's like to watch Bravo with your friend, and me. I'm just trying to make Ronnie laugh. That's all I'm trying to do. All I wanted.
I'm just trying to keep a job sitting down. I don't care. Just keep it off my timeline, okay?
Yeah.
So, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Previously on the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I don't know if Teresa is even bothering to move her lips anymore. I think everything's just like kind of stuttering out of her nose at this point.
Yeah. That's just what it sounds like. Print out. Someone's printing out coupons.
We were talking about iPhone ringers so much the other day. And I think Teresa's really would just be like, it's like,
you know. Texas. So we open up this episode where we left off 2 weeks ago, because there was a Thanksgiving break, at Siggy's retreat, where classic Marge was getting up there to doing a role play, role reversal. So Marge was going to play Siggy Flicker, and Siggy's going to play Marge. So Marge gets up there and goes, oh my God, I'm Siggy Flicker. I'm Soggy Flicker. I'm crying about the cake. The great cake is ruined. Wah, 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 wah. Classic Marge. Very funny impersonation.
Joshua. Wah, 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 wah.
She was really going over the top. Everybody was hiding their face. And Melissa's like, well, look, I'm a fan of role play. You know, I played a sexy maid, a hot librarian. But you know, I don't even think this will. You know what? Never mind. Joe will still jerk off to this. He would. Who am I kidding?
One of his fantasies is me talking about my feelings in remote New Jersey. So this is very good.
Joe would totally jerk off to Margaret in a bolero cutoff sweater. imitating Siggy Flicker. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's why Used Women's was made, huh?
Oh, yeah. Turn around. Let me see a little portion of your back. Oh, yeah. Oh, matching leggings. Oh.
And then Siggy gets her turn. And you called it, because at the end of the last episode, they were like, what is Siggy going to say? Will she cry? And you were like, she ain't going to cry. She's going to take it fine, whatever.
Yeah.
So, of course, they cut back, and she's not freaking out.
But she grabs her hair into ponytails, which is hilarious. And she's like, you feel for a pastry chef? Ooh, ooh, ooh. I find it very pathetic, and it's annoying at the highest level.
And then
I'm sorry you don't have a heart or a soul.
And then she flicks her hair, and then she turns her back to Margaret. I don't remember Margaret really ever doing that, but I like that Siggy is now envisioning herself just peeing off a bridge. It's like, what are you even doing right now? Come on.
I liked it. To me, it was very, like, climactic Blair Witch Project, right? She's like, all right, and now let the witch take me.
How could you witch? How could you face a corner?
All I wanted was to go into the woods.
All I wanted was to make decorations out of sticks.
You took the map of the woods and you threw it in the river across the floor. Who does that?
You dropped my home video camera in an abandoned shack. Who does that?
Listen, Blair Witch, you're a fucking animal. Blair Witch, I'm going to take the door off your hut so that way I can always walk in and say hello. You came out of my cookie, Blair Witch. You came out of my cookie. Blair Witch is like, Mom.
The Blair Witch is just killing herself in the corner. The end. Siggy threatening people to re-enter them back into her cookie. Like, I'm out of here. I've had enough. The Blair Witch.
Listen, if this is the found footage genre, so someone had to find the footage. Look, I found a camera, Blair Witch. Yeah, you know, just take it.
I had this camera in my cookie, Blair Witch.
Classic Blair. So,
Tootie's like, oh my god, I know she's the worst. So, Siggy. So now the Tootie. Shrink, which, or the divorce lawyer. Now, why is the divorce
Vicky.
Lawyer the shrink? I don't understand how this is working.
Nothing makes sense.
Nothing makes sense.
But she just goes. Sorry, you do it.
No, she's just like, that was really hard to watch. How do you feel? And Siggy's like, well, I'm glad that Margaret and I had a chance to bond on this trip. But I will say, it doesn't get better. And it flashes back to all this bullying that Siggy's taking.
Yeah. Calling me Soggy Flicker, cut me to the core. I mean, what does not cut her to the core? She is just like a very soft fruit. Everything is just getting right to the core.
My favorite Rhonda saying when I was a kid, you know, because I was like that teenage girl that would just fight with the mom all the time. We had these like super dramatic fights because I'm just
you have to see Lady Bird.
I can't, too close to home. I'd be like, why aren't you like Laurie Metcalf, Mom?
I just want to watch it with you, and the entire time I'm gonna have my chin on my fist, and I'm just gonna be staring at your face next to me. Be like, what is Ronnie feeling? How is he emoting?
I'll call my mom. I'm so sorry, Laurie Metcalf. But one of my favorite things my mom would say when she was being overdramatic, she'd go, I love you with every ounce of my being. And you cut me to the core, kid. You cut me to the core. It's like one of my favorite Rhonda monologues ever. So when Siggy was like, you cut me to the core when you caught me soggy.
It seems very Marissa Tomei. Very Marissa Tomei monologue.
Stamping her foot.
Yeah.
So Margaret's like,
your mom's biological clock is ticking like that.
So Margaret's like, listen, when I said soggy, I thought I was hilarious, okay? That's literally what I thought. I was like, I thought I'm hilarious. It's like, Joan, that's
me. I was like, look, you know, Fashion Police is off the air, and Joan Rivers is dead, so I gotta carry the torch in some way. I thought I was being cute and clever and fucking hilarious, and I'm devastated that I hurt you that way, and that I cut little baby Siggy. I don't want to cut little baby Siggy. I'm not a baby cutter. I cut a little inner child. Like, I didn't want to do that to you, but I did it, and I'm sorry. I thought I was being fucking hilarious, because guess, let's face it, I'm more of a Joan than you are. I'm sorry, I just said it.
I didn't know it was going to cut you to the core. I would never do that to you. I would never cut baby Flicker, okay? I don't even know what's in that core. I have a feeling it's like a seed from a plum with huge pores. There, I said it. Just like Joan would. See, I'm being hilarious. It's not
bullying. You know, I'm almost sad that Joan's not alive to be here for this right now, because Joan and I, if we did a reversal, it would be like talking to each other. It would be like no reversal. It's like a palindrome. We're like spiritual palindrome. We're like the word auto, you know? Because like I'm like a Joan and she's like a Marge. Like classic Marge, classic
I'm
Joan.
A
you could tell
Joan!
The difference.
All right, you could be Melissa. Just try and come in between us and we'll push your face out of the way. Okay?
But we could do a wonderful TV movie in the meantime.
So she's like, look, here's all I hope. I hope I didn't cut you to the core again. Okay? I just hope I didn't cut you to the core again. Oh, and we got matching leggings, you know, so there's that.
I wanted to be individual in my leggings and you cut me to my leggings core.
Those snakeskin legging cores. So they cut to Dolores. He's just looking at everyone like, oh my God, things were easier in prison. Yeah, I'm like, I've watched male-on-male rape, and it was easier than this. They cut to her, and she has three stripes. Now, during Below Deck, one of the stews got their two-stripe things, so we've talked about two stripes. And I just love that Dolores just bought herself three stripes.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, why do I have to wait to be promoted? I'm just going to get my three stripes right now. You know what? Because I feel like I've been on a ship for a long time, a sinking ship, and it's a ship called Maz, okay? Like, he calls me every day about the gym, and I'm like, listen, Maz, I can't do the gym. I'm doing a dog charity. I got new cabinets. Frank's moving in. Frankie's moving out. And Boo, I don't know where Boo is because he's dead, but his soul's all around. You know, it's a lot on my mind.
Three stripes. So next up, Melissa gets to get some Melissa's.
Captain Dolores, the HMS Dolores.
Next up is Melissa, and she's like, you know, I choose Siggy to go again, and I'd like to do it right on this fire pit. I was like, what are they doing? Why are they having group therapy on a fire pit?
So Melissa airs her grievances, and, you know, she's like, this is what it was like when I went to your party. Hey, everyone! Cake is the best, and people who treat cake bad are assholes. And Melissa is an asshole. Aren't I an asshole? And she gets down on the floor. She does the whole Siggy thing, which was a pretty accurate impersonation.
Yeah. I'm enjoying Melissa's Adderall prescription this season. I don't know what's gotten into her, but she's hopping all over the place, jumping around, screaming. And then she's doing that come down thing like we see later at dinner where she's just totally out of it. She's like, huh? What's a bar mitzvah? I'm totally into whatever drug journey she's on. Okay?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really working out for her. Those marble eyes are really looking great.
Yeah, so Melissa and Siggy wind up burying the hatchet also, and Siggy's just like, it was a big deal to me, but it wasn't a big deal to you, and I'm sensitive sometimes, and I just wanted you to see how it could be a big deal for someone, but I want to break this wall because I love you. And she's like, let's break the wall. We're going to break the wall.
Wait, hold on. I'm still standing on the wall, so technically I'm talking down to you this entire time, and nobody's noticing, which I love because I win. You see, it gets better. No, you won't. Worth.
I'm throwing out all my Pink Floyd CDs because guess what? There will be no wall. All in all, it's another brick of Melissa and Siggy. And guess what? We don't need no education, as evidenced by you and your sister-in-law, very uneducated women. I'm comfortably numb.
So, Monet. So they're like, anybody else want to go? And Teresa's like, no one else will go. Because, I mean, really, everyone else is just going to pick Siggy anyway. You know, no one has anything to say. So Danielle's like, yeah, actually, I'd like to call someone up.
And yeah, Danielle, I've noticed that one thing Danielle does is she likes to slide into her line. She goes, yeah, I'd like to call somebody up to talk about something to clear the air. So it's like, yeah. It's like, okay, here comes Danielle.
Yeah, Danielle with her completely not prepared monologue. that she's got. She like gives herself theme music before she comes up. She's like, yeah, da 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 da. Here I am. I've got something to say. Da 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 da. So just do it. Just do it. We don't have all day. This is not the UTEP dinner theater, okay?
UTEP dinner. So everyone's like, oh god, Danielle's gonna call Dolores up and it's gonna be super awkward. They're gonna get into another fight. But surprise twist, Danielle calls up Teresa Giudice.
Oh god, oh yeah, what? Blink, 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 blink.
She has no idea. She's like, did I win something?
I bid $50. It's not Price is Right.
Hey, I got a loofah in my pocket. Where'd this come from?
You stole that from the table.
Oh yeah, I forgot it. What Blink are we doing out. Here? Can I get some lenses?
So Danielle is like, Teresa, I need to talk to you about something. I have an open wound, and we're in a really good place right now, and I don't want to ruin where we are right now, but I've got an open wound, and it's festering, and it may be infected. It's a little pussy. I haven't put a Band-Aid on it for 12 years. Because I want to look at it.
It's like Melania in Puerto Rico's. I just told to go in the pool. It'll wash it off.
So it turns out I was bitten by a zombie. So I only have about 48 hours before I actually become an undead. And I want to get this off of my still alive chest. When you called me a prostitution whore in front of my children, it rocked my world. It rocked my world. They were bullied for it. And I was like, okay, okay. But then they showed the flashback of, you know, the famous, the table flip, you prostitution whore, engaged 19 times, whatever, the whole famous scene. But this time, Bravo cuts to, you know, those two girls, 11 and 13, these sweet, innocent girls, and they're staring, and they're processing, and they're like, and I was like, you know what? This is, you know what's really fucked up about this? For 8 years, Bravo trots out this table flip over and over and over and over again. It's like funny, right? It's like the table flip. But, you know, there are these two girls who actually really were scarred by it. And they're just sitting there watching this. It's like, if you're a child, that's actually horrifying. And it's like, this thing has been trotted out for entertainment endless times. And what's sort of like not spoken is like, there really has been trauma that was going along with it. And I kind of was like, you're so shitty, Bravo, sometimes. You really are.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, who are you going to be mad at? The lady who called her a prostitution whore or the prostitution whore? I mean, she's the one with kids. Like, what, were you on the road to Wellville a few years later when you took a job at Scores? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I still think, I think Tree was out of her mind during that thing anyway.
She
but
was.
I don't know.
So was
it was
Danielle,
just one of those moments.
And Danielle's always fucking with everybody. She's one of the darkest fucking human beings that's ever been on these shows.
I know.
And
thank
guess
God.
Who else? Teresa. What an awful fucking human being. And I love that Teresa's got everyone fooled. They're like, look how she's changed. Look how she just smiles. She's even nice to Melissa. She has not changed. No. During this season, she's already thrown a goddamn cake. She's lost her mind, I think, twice. And then look what she does at the end of the episode. And no one even bats an eye. You know, the bitch is crazy. Put her back at camps.
Which I appreciate. And so Danielle is like, Danielle wants Teresa. First of all, you know, Danielle is like, you know, she basically wants an apology from Teresa. And Teresa does that whole, Danielle's is, if I had known that was going to be hurtful like you, of course, I would take it back. I would never says that stuff about prostitution's whores. Never, ever, Danielle. But notice that she never says I'm sorry. She never says I'm sorry.
Yeah, she never said she's sorry to the busboys for getting cake all over the floor. She never says sorry to whoever worked at that fucking catering room in the Marriott or wherever that scene took place with the prostitution whore. You know, whoever had to wipe the butter off of every single surrounding table. You know?
How about she apologizes to the English language? Because prostitution whore does not actually make any sense.
No kidding. It's like a double positive.
Like, prostitution is not an adjective.
I don't even know what I'm saying right now. I can't ever get on anybody's English. I'm like, that was adjectival. So
you spoke good. You spoke good.
Camps, meh. Oh no, I swear I didn't mean it. It came out of Angus,
which means everything's okay. You know, You know, whoever flew those planes into the buildings on 9/11 was pissed off too. Everything's forgiven, everybody. As long as you're angry.
Normally
as
I would
you're
be
angry.
Like, Ronnie, this is dangerous territory, except that we have a nice little Hitler reference later. So I guess this is just gonna be that kind of podcast.
I'm just trying to pick the worst crimes in the world. It's like, okay, well, it's okay. As long as you were mad. Okay.
Yeah.
You were angry. We all understand. Let's just
Mad Lauer's like, it just came I was in a place of hurt, which is why I locked you in my office and took
I was just really hurt at a fashion show, so I locked you in my office. Okay.
So Dolores is watching this and she's like, this isn't good, Maz. This isn't good.
Dolores
can't
is wearing
clothes.
Yeah. Hey, Maz. She's texting Maz. I'm gonna be late again. You won't believe the shit that's happening here. He's like, God damn it.
Did you get the food for Boo? Boo. Forgot.
Oh, Boo. Okay, I'd like to get up. I'd like to take my turn and talk to Boo. They're like, oh, God. So
is Boo here with us right now? Like, this isn't a seance.
So Teresa's like, no, I was angry, so it didn't count, okay? And she's like, would you be willing to say that to my daughters? Okay, and Teresa goes, well, yeah, I mean, I guess if it really bothers them.
Thanks for the sincerity, Trudy.
Yeah. She's like, yes, and then, it does. Calling their mother a whore. Yes, it kind of bothers them, Teresa. She's like,
all right, okay. This is Joe's fault.
Yeah. So then Vicky, meanwhile, she goes, I think the takeaway from all this is that words hurt. It's like, great. Thanks, Einstein.
No, the takeaway is Teresa going,
look, there's an Italian saying, the tongue breaks bones.
The takeaway is that I ordered garlic bread for all of us, and it's ready for us, so we can take that away.
The takeaway is, oh, here it is. Thanks for bringing that out to me. All right, got the takeaway. Let's go.
It's very British of her to be calling the takeout the takeaway. So
I ordered some puddings.
This pudding is solid. I don't get it.
Why is this pudding like an uncooked biscuit?
It's like a gooey cake. I don't get pudding anymore. There's no proof in this.
So Joe goes on a uncle date with Melania.
Yeah, I feel like they go go-karting like once a season, or if not three times. But yeah, it's nice. They go go-karting, and then he sits her down, and they talk about Nonna, and she talks about her feelings, how it's sort of weird that she feels like Nonna's still at the hospital, just hasn't come back yet. It's sad. It's nice.
Yeah, he's like, you saw a ghost, huh? It was my mommy. You remember seeing her? She's like, yeah, I saw her. She was, like, cooking eggs. Did she tell you where she left? What would Joe even like? I'm trying to think of something valuable to Joe Gorga, but I can't think of anything. I mean, this house is made with, like, foam marble, so.
Yeah.
Oh, a spank rag. Can you ask her where she buried my first edition Hustler? Ask her.
Yeah.
So cute, I guess. Fast forward.
It was really nice. I think I just want to say that Joe Gorga, for as much as he can be like a caveman, I do think he's like a really sweet uncle and good to his kids.
Yeah,
even though
he really is.
Even though he reinforces like old fashioned gender roles.
Even though he's a total pig. You know, pigs are very sweet. I mean, there's a whole industry built around sweet pigs. Look at Babe. I mean, what an adorable little guy. But he's like, look, I wear this rosary. You know why? I don't either. But, you know, that's what we do. Sometimes I hit myself on the back with it while I'm fucking Melissa. Okay, look, I'm going to be like your daddy, okay? If you need anything, tell me. I'll find a way to steal it from a family in the neighborhood, okay? just let me know. She's like, okay.
So back at the retreat, it's nighttime. The girls decide to get dressed up, and they're putting on all their makeup. And Siggy's like, I almost just put lip gloss in my eyelashes, which would have been amazing.
No, your lip gloss.
My eyelashes were almost soggy. That's it. That's all I had to say about that.
Sorry, I was blowing my nose on mute.
Oh, I was like... Okay, you don't have to pile on if you don't want
Sometimes
to.
Sometimes when I start laughing and have to blow my nose, I'm like, Ben will just vamp. But I don't even tell you.
Usually
I wish there
I
was
do.
Like a little red light that I could push when I press mute so you know to like start tap dancing.
This is why we got to do more podcasts in person. So that way, like if you're blowing your nose, I can see it happening. And I'll be like, okay, I got this from here. lip gloss in the eyelash. Soggy, soggy, soggy. Soggy eyelash. Driving over trash can lids. Soggy flicker. I'm taking ownership of the name that cuts me to my core.
My name is Soggy. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've completely disrespected me before, that's for sure. And it hurt my feelings.
I did not expect a Suzanne Vega reference. That was...
I was driving in...
I am driving in Franklin Lakes, and I drove over a trash can lid, and I turn to Joshua, and I say, did you see what I drove over? And he says, be quiet, Mom, I'm a teenager, I'm gonna leave you home alone.
I got out of the car. I said, Joshua, please help me. He said, shut up, stupid mom. And then I started to cry. And then I called Michael Campanella. And then Wayne destroyed the voicemail. And I left him a voicemail. And then choked on a pallet.
Oh, singing therapy.
There's a woman on the outside looking inside. Does she see me? Yes, she does. It's Dolores. She's my favorite of all time. And I go to hug Dolores, and I feel something strange. And as I look beyond Dolores, I see it's Michael Campanella too. Oh my God, it's so much.
Da, 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 da. Oh my God. We have to do the rest of Siggy in Suzanne Vega songs.
It's always another entry, another verse.
So they all meet, and they're on these big couches, and Dolores is like kind of laying on this chair with one of her legs over the, I don't know why this made me laugh, but it's hilarious just watching how Dolores watches everybody else. She's like, She's doing that thing where you've just left the Golden Corral and they were out of toothpicks, and so you're trying to suck like chicken skin out of your teeth, like she's giving that look to everybody around
her. She's doing her best, like, hey, I'm Annabelle Shura in a 1988 sexual thriller pose.
Yes, pretty much. She's like, remember how I pretended that I was just some dumb girl with the leg over the arm of a chair, but then I ruined your life? I remember. It was so fun. What a time. What a time.
What a time to be alive.
The women in danger. Oh, tricked you. The man is in danger now, motherfucker.
Just call me Joanne Wally. Kilma. Anyway.
Okay.
What
so
is
Siggy,
happening today?
I don't know.
This
ice coffee
is doing weird things to me. This is weird.
We're Looney Tunes, and also it's our Friday because we're taking off tomorrow, which we didn't mention, but we've got many shows coming next week. We're taking another Friday off, and so I think we're just like, yeah, school's over! Let's go party! So, Siggy,
yes.
She's like, guys, remember when we were at the fire pit, and me and Margaret pretended to make up, and then I sang songs about fast cars and trash car lids? They're like, yes, Siggy. Okay, well, that was for trust. Now, this time, let's open up deeper. So Margaret's like, all right, you know what? I'll go first. You know the story. I met Joe, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, he had a wireless screw gun. I thought that was attractive. He said, you know, you want some confetti on the floor? I fucked him. I left my entire family. Like, who's to blame me? But then I ruined my family. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. And Siggy goes... Now, what did Siggy say here? Did she say,
okay,
do you wish? Or did she say, I wish you would have ended your marriage first?
Yeah, I think she said, I wish. I wish you could have done that first. She's like, well, yeah, that's what I would have wanted to have in an ideal world, you stupid bitch. But of course, it didn't happen that way. I fell in love with a man with a screw gun. Okay, it's too exciting. I don't even know what a screw gun is. It shoots screws. I don't know. Maybe a staple gun and a screwdriver. I don't know. I get excited. I see a utility belt. I get excited. I want to edit the Macbeth collection. It's just a lot going on. It's just classic Mudge. Classic impulsive Mudge. Oven's turned off, but the heat is on. You know what I'm saying?
It's the first time. The first time I actually had sex with him was the first time that I just let the waffle fries thaw on the countertop. Like, I didn't even know at that time that the oven didn't work. Like, that's how much I wish that I had waited till later. You know what I mean?
I remember the first time I saw him up in a ladder. He was in my den putting up a picture frame. And I said, nice drill. I wish you would drill me. Get it? Classic Margie. I learned that one from Joan. They just fall right out of me every single time. You know what? I can't help it.
First time he banged me on the stairs with the screw gun, I didn't even know what he was doing. Classic Margie. Classic Margie. You know what? I told him when he was done, I said, hey, Joe, you just got Joned. And he laughed. Boy, did he laugh. Boy, did he laugh.
He was trying to hang a plant. And he said, I need to find my stud finder. I said, guess what? I'm the stud finder. And I found you. Okay, do me right now. Classic Joan.
Classic Joan. I even made that beep beep sound. I mean, it was hilarious.
But you know what, though? We always keep it level. See what I did there?
Okay.
I just wish his name was Alan, so I could call him Alan Wrench.
Don't worry, I screwed this one into a beam, so I know it's going to be more stable. Yeah, you see what I did there? Anybody get it? You guys just got Jones, all of you. It was hilarious.
Joan had a whole section of hardware jokes, okay, and I was the inspiration for all of them. So anyway, so yeah, so she's crying because her kids don't talk to her anymore, and I like Vicky's advice is, you know, what I think I want you to do is you need to talk to your ex-husband and say, listen, I'm gutted about this. It's killing me inside. Like, will you help me mend with the children? I'm like, why do I have a feeling like Margaret has probably asked her ex-husband that before? He comes over and has coffee with her. I'm sure she's said it a few times.
Yeah, I'm sure she's said the most obvious things. Like, she's like, you know what I would do if I was you? I would say, I'm sorry. Hey, great idea. Great idea, divorce
Have you
attorney.
Tried sending an edible arrangement? People love those.
Have you ever got them a pillow where there's a word written on cursive like love? Maybe something like that. Maybe you could try something like that. That would be great.
Have you looked into the shoebox greetings? You know, their apology section. They're very convincing.
Have you tried a $5 bill on their birthdays? Because I've heard those really work for children. So Margaret's like, you know, I've already shared. So, you know what? That was hilarious. Aha, Mark's done, okay? Someone else can share, okay? I had my
Marge
share.
Marge out.
And so then Tree's like, okay, well, I could just go down the storyline path that Caroline Manzo and the Watch What Crappens guy said I was going to go down years ago, which is blame everything on Joe, set myself up for divorce, and a spinoff of me raising my kids on my own.
All right, I'll go. When Joe came home, he was drinking a lot. I wish he'd been stronger, but women are stronger than men, okay? Anyone who says marriage is perfect, I got resentment, but I can't cry over spilled milks.
Well, and importantly, in the middle of that, Vicky said, so did Joe ever apologize about what he did? And she goes, well, you know, no marriage is perfect. I was like, okay, that means no, he never apologized.
Yeah, no, he didn't apologize because you knew what he was fucking doing the whole,
I just signed things.
yeah. Did he apologize?
No, you know, what am I going to yell at him for spilling the milks?
You can't cry over spilled milk unless that milk spills on something that's really valuable. Like everything.
I can't believe Teresa didn't take the opportunity to say spilt milk.
Okay. Spills as milks is. That's in my new cookbook, Spilt Milk. Take 1 gallon milk, put it on the side, spill it, and then you have spilt milk to enjoy.
Siggy's like, well, feelings have a way of festering, but you gotta release.
Okay, Siggy. You know what, Siggy? Stop releasing. How about that? How about let's let the audience give you some advice. Stop releasing.
Okay? Oh, I want her to keep releasing. I want it to be nothing. I want her to be like Rihanna, just releasing every few weeks. Just another nugget.
Yeah. Melissa's like, I think that she just needs to say she wants an apology. Oh, shut up, Melissa. So then Teresa's like, Dolores, hello. Dolores is sorry that she doesn't stand up for me enough. Dolores, go on.
Says, yeah, so Dolores, will you share something that no one else knows? Okay. Well, I'm going to have a fair for animals this Saturday. It's going to be a charity for animals, so everyone should come. I think Frankie's going to be there. Frank might be there. I don't know if Maz is going to be there. He's got to do the gym. But I did ask Maz if he could look over the cabinets for me, so I don't know. And then there's the pasta on the floor, so I don't even know if Frankie's going to be there because he's got to clean up that pasta. I'm not going to let him not clean that up, okay? So all you girls better come. The bouncy house and everything. They're like,
I've also got a couple chairs from IKEA that the boys haven't finished putting together yet, so those will be there if anyone wants to lend a hand. Okay.
We call it the IKEA station. You can bring your dogs. They can watch while you put together my chairs. That'd be great, actually.
And Margaret's like, are you fucking kidding me? I would ask about my kids, a dog charity. But what am I not going to go?
Of course I'm going to go. I love anything with fur.
Yeah. And I also like being on TV.
Also, I like purple fur.
Well, you know,
fur, blue classic fur, March, any kind of fur. Also, bolero turtlenecks that are only halfway down.
You know what I like to do? I like to wear a freestanding dickie. That's what I like. Marge is playing the game right, though. She's like, anytime I'm invited to something where the cameras are, I'm getting myself on camera. I'm going to every event. Because the people who boycott events, they're the ones who are the problems, you know, because we like seeing people interact, you know. Yeah. So she knows what's up.
And then Vicky, the useless-ass Vicky's like, oh, all right, I'm proud of everybody. Okay.
So, you know, it's funny talking about those bolero, what were you calling them? They were basically the capelets.
Someone said online capelets. What they're called. They're like a bolero half, a bolero dicky, maybe.
The
maybe
urban
it is
bolero.
A bolero dicky. Maybe
bolero
it is something
dickie.
Like that. Yeah.
A knitted bolero turtleneck dicky.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was there for it. Why not?
So it's funny because some of our listeners have been posting photos. One of our listeners posted a photo, was like, oh my God, I was just looking through my drawer and look what I found. And she had something from the Macbeth collection, which was kind of hilarious that Margaret has already infiltrated our lives. But, you know, that's what good fashion does. It infiltrates our lives. And some of us need a little help with that, because if you're not careful, you might wind up with a piece from the Macbeth collection. So that's why I have recently been relying on Stitch Fix for my fashion needs. And guess what? Can I tell you something? I'm now on my like third or fourth month of it. I'm loving it.
Yes. And, you know, like we get to try this stuff at first, but when Ben is saying he's on his third or fourth, that is not some gift he's getting. That is like, he really is using the service.
I'm using it. Like, the first box, you know, since we're sponsors, there are sponsors, whatever we, you know, they gave us like, oh, here, you basically get like more or less a free box. Here's a big discount code. But since then, it's all me. I'm putting down my own money for it. The shirt that I wore to our San Francisco show is from Stitch Fix. This last week when I was wearing sweats on the airplane, I was wearing a very, very fashionable sweatshirt from Stitch Fix. I mean, it's good.
My Boston outfit will be Stitch Fix, both my cashmere sweater and my button down.
Really? They get you a cashmere sweater and a button down? That's nice.
Hell yeah. I got my Stitch Fix working for me, okay? Now, love it or hate it, there is no denying you could be shopping better, okay? You either spend all day at the mall and you end up with yet another striped t-shirt, bolero dickie, or whatever. Or you're scrolling endlessly online just to leave everything in your car. Like, would Joan do that? No, Joan wouldn't. She'd be getting a box every month, going through it and being hilarious, just like me, okay? Now you can shop the productive way and end up with stuff you actually love with Stitch Fix.
Okay, let me tell you something else. Okay, this is Margaret Joseph speaking on behalf of Stitch Fix. Okay, right now, let me tell you something. If you don't use Stitch Fix, you might find yourself shopping at Posh, and no one wants to shop at Posh. Okay, you don't want Kim D's fashions. What you want is Stitch Fix. So whether you're looking to express your personal style or dress for the job you want, or you just want something new, like a classic Marge, but new, Stitch Fix can style for you on your time.
Yeah, you don't even have to leave the house, which is real helpful because I literally couldn't for like months. You know, you just go on, you fill your style profile out online, and Stitch Fix will send clothes, shoes, accessories picked out just for you. Your sizes, your lifestyles, your budgets, and of course, what you like. It's not up to Joe. He's not even here. Am I mad? A little. I'm a little mad.
Each Stitch Fix box contains 5 items, not including my heart, which you can try on at home so you can see what works with your wardrobe. And you only pay for the items you keep. But just keep in mind, for every item you return, you are cutting me to the core.
And look, sending back everything is easy as long as you're not some drama queen idiot, okay? Stitch Fix covers shipping both ways for returns and exchanges too. You know what? If they had kitchens in a box, I'd say Stitch Fix, send me a Kitch Fix. Okay, that's how good they are. I'd get my countertops all from this box. That's how good they are. There's no subscription required. You can get your fix monthly, quarterly, or whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I was telling Maz, you could just get started now at stitchfix.com/crappins, and you'll also get 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. I'm like, Maz, don't you want to keep all 5 items in your box for 25% off? And then Frankie's like, well, that's stitchfix.com/crappins to try Stitch Fix today. And I was like, Frankie, you got to talk to your dad, Frank. And Frank says, stitchfix.com/crappins. I was like, okay, well, I got new cabinets.
That's stitchfix.com/crappins.
I really... I really do love Stitch Fix. Like, I actually genuinely get excited when I get my emails that are like, time for your next Stitch Fix. I'm like, yay.
We loved you, Stitch Fix. Okay, so now let's go to
back
Teresa.
To New Jersey. The retreat is over. The retreat is over. We're now back home. And we're getting little snapshots of everyone's life. You see Dolores like, hey, Frankie, wake up. Wake up. I'm sending in a million dogs into your bedroom to wake you up. Wake up. Come on. Here. Let me shove you in the abs. Okay, wake up, Frankie.
And then she pulls off his blanket. He's like, what are you doing? Andy's sitting at home, like, just jerking it. He's like, yeah, yeah, do it. So Andy's, like, pressing the lock button on his bedroom door from his desk.
So, and Curry is knocking. And are you in there?
And Curry is knocking on Frankie's door. Like, don't do this to me, Frankie. So, Mel, now this, when we were watching this episode, I was texting Ben, like, there are so many Easter eggs for you in this show. This one was Melissa, because it's the first time I think we've ever seen a parent tell their child to get off the counters.
Yes, I wrote, it's funny, I didn't realize that was an Easter egg for me, but I did write, Joey, get off the counter.
Yeah, I wrote, Ben must be very proud right now.
Wow. I mean, it's the first time anyone has been kicked off a counter. It's amazing. And then after all this, we settle in on Teresa showing up at Siggy's house, and they go sit down, they go to her backyard, and they sit at like the outdoor fire pit, and Siggy's like, look what Michael Campanella did. This is a barbecue pit. Can you imagine roasting s'mores here? Oh, the memories we'll have roasting those s'mores. I am sitting roasting s'mores next to Teresa Giudice. And as the s'mores get toasty, I look into her face. And is she shedding a tear or is smoke in her eyes?
Wait. I know this song. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We did it already in Puerto Rico.
We roasted s'mores. S'mores, by the way, is a word that was made for Teresa. It's like already pluralized perfectly for her. Do you have the s'mores? Oh, no, I guess that's not. She would have the. She would still pluralize it.
Yeah, some s'mores.
Da 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 da. We got a fast car. I'm gonna get far away from here. No, you're mixing up Tracy Chapman with Sam Vega. You can't do that, Teresa.
Da 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 da. Joe wasn't drunk. He just needed a shot when he got home, so they thought he was drunk.
Da 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 da. Every little step we take, we will be there. Every little step you make, we. Oh no, wait, what?
Da 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 da. You're the wind beneath my wings, Puerto Rico.
Wait a minute.
I'm a soldier of love. Just going through all the hits of 1989.
Bills, bills, pay my telephone bills, pay my automobiles, pay my.
Teresa.
What I am is what I am. What you are is what you are.
You get Raquel now?
Da-da-da-da, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a mother, Puerto Rico, I'm a mother, where's my mom?
Teresa, you're ruining the song!
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I kind of fade it, but I feel all right, think about making my move tonight, I can't pretend that you're only my friend when I make my plan, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Teresa, back to the s'mores self-help women's movement, okay? Now look, while you were in Puerto Rico, wherever that is, I got pellets. I'm a different person, Teresa. The other day I was like, Michael Campanella, I'm in the mood.
And she's like, oh, I'm glad you're having sex.
Now, the only important reason to bring that up is because, of course, the accusation is that Teresa's totally cheating on Joe this whole time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Having plenty of sex.
And she's like, yeah.
When
yeah.
was the last time you saw Joe, Tree?
She's like, well, I wanted to see him when I got back from Puerto Rico, but last time, you know, Mom was sick. I didn't know what was happening. Not my fault. Just saying things. I got resentments.
Some busies. Yeah, she basically has not seen Joe in 3 months, which is hilarious because Joe would take the kids to see Teresa every single week. And she's like, yeah, I can't go to Danbury's. Although, actually, I don't know where Joe is. He may be farther away. Maybe more of a schlep than Danbury.
Yeah, I think he got moved, but I don't think he got moved way back then.
Because if he's like in Ohio or something, it's understandable.
Prison.
Yeah, because Danbury is, you know, that's Connecticut. That's near the mall I used to go to when I was a little boy.
Yeah, but she's such a hypocrite. Because she made him come there every fucking week, and she doesn't even go see him at all. And now she's just turning on him on TV, which...
And you know what?
We saw coming, and he deserves it.
He deserves it. He deserves it. He called her the C word, a cut fitness, on TV, and is clearly cheating on her. So He deserves it.
Really? But an airplane could fall out of the sky and crush Teresa and or Joe, and we would be able to say the same thing. They deserve it.
So Siggy's like, oh, good. I think I can make her cry. So you haven't seen Joe? You can cry. It's okay. You can cry. You're allowed to cry. You're hurt. It's okay to be sad. I'm sad. That's my greatest power, is that I'm sad. Are you sad? I want to cry. Do you want to cry with me? Let's cry together.
Would you like to know you're worth that? Wear it right now while you cry. Do you mind if I insta that?
So Tree's like, eh.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I was shutting my mouth. I was smoking out the
screen
door.
That's all I was going to say.
She's like, dig deep, Teresa. Just say fuck it.
And she's like, yeah, you know what? I need to put my walls down.
Yeah, Teresa. It's your walls that need to go down. And then she goes, Madonna mia. All right, dog event.
Whatever, Kathy Dennis. Okay, dog event. Too many walls.
It's the Onyx and Breezy Foundation. And
well, that name just rolls off the tongue. Onyx and Breezy.
Onyx and Breezy.
Basically like clothing cleaners spelled wrong. It's like OxyClean and Febreze.
Yeah.
Onyx and Breezy.
She's like, the love of my life was a dog called Boo.
Yeah, really, Dolores? We didn't know. Somewhere Boo and Milu are having sex in Doggy Heaven. You know this.
Somewhere Milu and Boo are like eye boogers in someone's eyes because they were like tossed as dust out into the middle of a windstorm.
Okay. Ashes to ashes, dust to Luann's hair.
Dust to eye boogers.
Just like the Bible said.
So Joe and Margaret come, and then there's Wanda, the prisoner organizer, in an orange jumpsuit. I don't know where they found her. They're like, hey, Wanda, are you done picking up trash on the side of the road? Come over to this event. I'd love to talk named Boo, Wanda.
Tell me, do you know Bette Midler? Because you know Bette Midler.
I was drinking water, yes. Yes.
It's always good when you have to explain your jokes.
No, you didn't. I was drinking. I always think you're going to like do something longer. I'm like, okay, Dolores talked about Boo. I'm like sitting back, lighting up a cigar,
sometimes
drinking
I'm
water.
Long. I mean, I did like a 10-minute Suzanne Vega run.
Yeah, we're at 55, so it's time to get through this shit, eh?
All right, so Danielle shows up with her dogs named Paradise and Angel, which I don't know why that cracks me up. It's just like the cheesiest names. You know that she probably sits alone and eats like, you know, bocce balls while listening to Andrea Bocelli while playing with her dogs in her living room. You know that's what Danielle's life is. Yolanda just walks in. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Bocelli.
She's like, what, is he blind? So
I take off my negligee. He doesn't even bat an eye.
Yeah, Joe would touch the dogs, but he's allergic. Okay, I wore a poodle coat the first time we fucked. That's how we found out. It was so awkward. It was against the beam. He started sneezing. I was like, oh my God, Brantic is talking to me. It happened that fast. What a cute dog over there. You got Jones.
And to think I was just about to get a lopsa opsa. So Siggy is like hugging everyone except Danielle. So Danielle's like, it says, has Siggy talked to Danielle about the retreat? Everyone's wondering, has Siggy talked to Danielle about the retreat?
Well,
Siggy,
Melissa's trying to start some shit here for Siggy and Danielle,
yes,
which is kind of odd because Melissa and Danielle are tight. Danielle helped get Melissa on this show. So normally I would say she's betraying Danielle, but I think she's just trying to set Danielle up for a decent scene so she can keep her job, you know?
Yeah.
So in a way, this is actually trying to help her. But Siggy's like, did you like the retreat, Melissa? And she's like, yeah, well, how are you and Margaret? Because, you know, do you think she felt it was genuine? Because I don't know if this making up was genuine. Because, you know, did you talk to Danielle about the retreat? Because she said that she didn't think it was genuine and that you were just doing it. Because, you know, we were in a Marriott and you wanted to sell some hashtag hats or whatever.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that Siggy's reaction was kind of like, I don't care. I really don't care. I was like, wait, where did this come from? Where did like non-emotional, these pellets really are working. She's like, you know what I think about what Danielle says? Nothing. Like, wait a second, Siggy. Yeah.
With Melissa, with Teresa, with Dolores, there's a history there. It's like with the cake. There was a history. I love cake. Okay? Danielle, I don't care about Danielle.
It's like Boca Raton. There's a history there. Hi, Joni. Hi, Jody. Hi, Jody, too. Margot. Joanne.
She's walking
Beverly.
Around the dog park like, buttons. Blackface. Poodles. I'm like, okay. So
meanwhile,
this dog park.
While this is happening, Danielle's talking to Classic Marge, and Danielle's, you know, in her, she's in her, hey, I'll give you, if you give me $20, I'll give you a tip on who knocked off Joey Pantyface. So she's like, yeah, so Marge, so you and Siggy are back together, huh? Huh. You know, because I was thinking, I'm not sure if it's so sincere. I sort of think that she got back together with you because she needed to look good. She needed to make her symposiums look like they work. And Classic Marge is like, huh, you know, now that you say that, it's like, I had every intention of making up with it. But, you know, now that you say, you make a very good point, you know. This is the sort of attention to detail that we put into the Macbeth collection. That's a very good point. I don't know. Maybe I'm not friends with her after all. I'm like, nothing okay, like, here yeah, we go.
Nothing like stirring up shit in a dog park. So then Dolores is talking to Teresa. The girls are talking to Teresa.
And then
Dolores,
all of a sudden
like,
we hear, did somebody's Toyota parked over there? We have your keys. We found your keys. Someone's Toyota parked. No. Little.
He would be there. Fucking DJ James Kennedy.
By the way, it's really hard to go from Jersey accents to DJ James Kennedy's accent. I thought that was a hairpin turn I thought I could make. I couldn't make it.
He's like,
do it.
Hello, I have the keys to it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Wiki-wiki.
Sorry, you were saying something.
Dolores starts, she's like, well, I'm doing this charity. I'm going to Kim T's charity, you know, because it's charity. And Teresa's like,
I don't think it's charity. I think she's just saying that.
I'm like, you're really not somebody to jump on someone else for tax fraud. Okay, Teresa, just keep your mouth shut over there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Then Siggy's like, it's a charity. A terrifying thing happened in Paterson, New Jersey.
Only one terrifying thing happened.
How every Lifetime movie begins.
A terrifying thing happened in Paterson, New Jersey.
This is the Candor and Ebb. This is like the sequel to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. A horrific thing happened in Paterson, New Jersey.
It just all takes place in a trunk. So Kim D's son's friends took his car and were burned alive in it, which I'm sure had nothing to do with organized crime at all. I'm sure they were just, you know,
no.
Minding their business,
of course.
You know, driving along, and someone started them on fire. So
yeah,
there's a charity event for it, which they're going to raise a ton of money, you know, at the posh strip mall charity event. A dollar from every garlic bread sale is going to go to
not.
Go to reupholster her son's car, okay?
So mean. So Teresa and Melissa are obviously not going to go to the fashion show because they hate Kim D these days. But Dolores and Siggy are going to go, and they're like, maybe now is not the right time to tell them that we're planning to go. So already the evil specter of the posh fashion show has presented itself, and we can already see that it is going to cause a big old problem, which I'm happy for.
Yeah.
Write a check then. She's done terrible things to my family.
Yeah. Remember that time when you tried to set Melissa up for being a stripper by having her ex-stripper boss show up? You can't wiggle out now, bitch.
Exactly. So then we go to the Macbeth showroom in New York City, where Classic Marge is there. We're just walking around looking at things, and we get to see a lot of her collection, and there's a bag that says, let's flamingo. It's two flamingos kissing up. It's just hilarious. It's like I showed it to Joan right before she died. She said, that's hilarious. You got to put it on a bag. So I put it on a bag, and guess what? It's my bestseller now at Ross Dress for Less.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are scared of birds, so I also had to do the exact same bag, but this time the seahorse is kissing. Because, like, who's afraid of seahorses? Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. Look at them. It's like a personal hilarity, okay? Joan would have called it a bag of tricks, which is what I call it as well. Jumped! You got jumped.
All right, so she's like, come to Italy with me, Melissa, because Melissa's like, well, it's really weird having a store because, like, I need to, like, learn, you know, what other people want to buy and not just people from Jersey who are, like, a size 2 or below, you know? She's like, you know what you need? You need to come to Italy. Okay. I don't know how we went from that to Italy. She could sell the size 4 and change her entire business model.
Yeah. So this is obviously setting up what's going to be the cast trip in a few episodes. And then we go over to Dolores and Siggy, and they're at the posh Boutique, where Kim D has made her first appearance this season. Always a joyous time.
Yes. Oh, my God. And she's just ready to go. Like, she's just basically sitting there with a sling and an arrow, just waiting to go.
I like how she perches herself on that little stool behind the desk, and she just sits and watches. She's just like, all right, I got my fake Starbucks here, and we're just going to watch you guys. All right, go walk a little bit, now change, now walk. Okay, guess what? Teresa's boning the mailman. Okay, walk a little bit more.
Pretty much. And so he's like, what are you saying? What are you doing right now, Kim D? She's like, well, that's what I heard. What are you going to get mad at me for what I heard? Teresa's having sex with somebody, okay? Everybody knows it. I'm just the one saying it.
Unless you have a picture of the wee-wee entering the cookie, who gives a shit? I'm like, I would prefer not to see that wee-wee and cookie situation, honestly. Yeah. I also like when Kim B is like, they're talking about the show, and Siggy's like, well, Teresa is not coming, and Melissa's not coming, quite obviously, because they don't like you. Kim B goes, okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot. By the way, did I mention that Teresa is having sex with a mailman from the country club, literally in cul-de-sacs all over town? Like, I don't even know what she's doing. She's doing it right in cul-de-sacs. People are sending it to each other on their WhatsApps.
What are you talking about right now?
I'm having heart palpitations. She says heart palpitations. And Kim's like, okay, it's over.
It's over. But guess what? I think he treated her horribly and she deserves better. That's okay. It's over. You can come out now. But one more thing. She's a whore. Okay, it's over.
Okay, we'll see you when we walk in your show the next episode. So Dolores is like, well, some people would question why I'm in the room with her. But some people would also question why I'm friends with Teresa. I love that Dolores is just standing there with a big ring of fucking jail prison keys. And she's just jangling them, not giving a fuck about anything.
Some people would question why we got 3 more elliptical machines instead of, you know, treadmills. Okay. But sorry, Maz. That's just what I want. Okay, Maz?
Some people would question why Maz is staring at his phone, trying to figure out the exact minute I'm supposed to be at work instead of doing something like wiping down the spin machines. But, you know, that's some people.
Some people would question why it takes 3 months to put together an IKEA chair. Some people would question why it's so hard to pour all the pasta into the container. I don't know.
Some people would question why the bathroom smells like asparagus every time Maz comes out. I don't know.
A lot of questions.
So the ladies join up and go have some dinner for this lovely finale scene.
And Melissa's already there. Therese shows up and she's like, yeah, I took Gabriella to a bat mitzvahs and she was in a dress that looks beautiful. And Melissa's like, well, it's that time of year, bar mitzvah time. She's like, well, I think the bat mitzvahs happen all year round. Huh? It's when you turn to 13s and stuff. You become a real man, a real woman. It's what the Jewishes do. Huh? Oh, but I thought it was religious. Well, it is religious. Huh? I never knew what bar mitzvahs were. I thought it was when you do a good thing for a bar. No, it's for children. I was like, oh my goodness.
You become a woman at 13? Don't tell Joe.
Oh, he knows.
I just can't believe that Teresa is like the ambassador for Judaism on this show.
Melissa, wow. So yeah. Margaret arrives. So everybody basically arrives. Yeah. And they announce. Melissa's like, I have an announcement, girls. I'm going to Milan to learn what a size 4 means. Anybody want to come? And Margaret's like, oh, yeah, I got a shoe line. It's in Italy. Melissa's going to come. You know, she doesn't even understand what toms are. You know, I'm like, 10% goes to poor people. Like, what do you need to know? They're made out of fabric. They're comfortable. Buy some. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, was I the only one who was sort of thought it was weird that Melissa invited everyone on the trip when it was Margaret's trip?
Well, it's, Melissa.
It's Margaret's fake business trip, okay? You can't be inviting people onto her fake business trip. That's up to her to invite people onto her fake business trip.
Yeah, Melissa's like, anybody want to come to Milan and help me design my seahorses kissing purses? Anybody want to come?
She's like, I named Melania after Milan. So
isn't it spelled wrong? How does she spell Melania?
No, she spells Melania like the city. It's Melania Trump that's spelled like melanin, which is ironic.
Oh, okay.
So then Siggy's like, well, before we get too excited about Milan, let me say something that may make you reconsider. First of all, I love Milano cookies, so there's that. Second of all, I love the orange chocolate Milano cookies, so there's that also. Third of all, I'm going to Posh Fashion Show and I'm walking in it. And Dolores is doing it too. And they're like, what?
And Teresa's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. What, you guys walking in the fucking show? I thought you was going, not that you was walking.
And Dolores is like, all right, right, right. Let me clarify something. Kim D said you were boning someone. It's like, wait, Dolores, wait, what? No, this, you're supposed to say, no, we are like, it's, we're doing it for charity. That, the second thing should have been like, it's charity, don't worry. Not, by the way, this is what Kim D said. Even though she was trying to say it, like, she was trying to say, listen, she tried to start shit and we had your back, so don't worry, we still have your back. But she just, she came out all wrong.
Yeah, on camera and in front of everybody brings up this affair that Teresa is supposedly, maybe, most likely, I mean, come on, let's face it, having.
Yeah.
And she's like, and you're walking in the show. Are you fucking kidding me?
Because Teresa immediately, she goes from like,
I'm not thinking I'm a sweet lady,
to squealing and throwing things in like 2 seconds, you know?
Right, because Teresa and Melissa are like, how could you do this? How could you do this? And of course, Danielle and Margaret just jump on board also. And Dolores is like, I'm neutral. And Dolores reminds us, she's like, it was only like 2 years ago that Melissa, I mean, Tree was always much closer with Kim D than I ever was. And it was only 2 years ago that Teresa was helping spread rumors with Kim D around the Posh Fashion show. So yeah, slowly roll.
Like, I stay neutral, okay?
And Melissa's like, we don't live in Switzerland. You got to pick sides.
And then this is when Margaret gets fired up. And she's, because Siggy's like, I judge my friends and how they treat me. And she has always been good to me, basically. And Margaret's like, Siggy, Hitler would not have killed me. Does that make him a good person? And Siggy's like, do not compute.
She's like, I was in the basement for that part. I don't remember.
I was also surprised that Margaret got so fired up. I mean, she really doesn't know these women very well, and she definitely doesn't know Kim D. So the fact that she's like, Siggy, or should I say better known as Soggy, what are you saying? How could you defend her? She's like Hitler.
And, yeah, because she got mad because Siggy said,
well, when we went to Boca, you know, me and Margaret weren't getting along. Did I tell you not to right. go to her party?
And Melissa's like, oh, listen, Miss Relationship Expert, okay? She called you soggy. This woman has called me a stripper, a whore, a piece of shit.
I'm like, well, I'm waiting till you hit one that's, like, incorrect. Like, I'm waiting for a whammy to pop up, but it never does, you know? So Teresa's like, I'm fuming.
Well, because Dolores goes, listen, Teresa, if it's true, because you know she wants to say something like, if it's true, and then she's going to qualify it with something. But all Teresa hears is, if it's true. And Teresa's like, heh. And she grabs a glass, turns around, and just throws it against the wall. It's not. Well,
shatters it. I mean, Jesus Christ, that thing shattered.
And she screams like, it's not fucking true. And the best part is, I don't know if you noticed, the waiters in the background didn't even turn around, wasn't even surprised. Like, oh, shit, what was that? It's like, this clearly happens all the time here.
Yeah, they're all wearing safety goggles.
Yeah.
Yep, we're ready.
Like, would you like another rails teeny?
She's like, it's not true, and you should have stuck up for me.
Which is all Teresa ever says. Like, she's the head of the fucking mob or something. And Dolores stands up and gets right in her face. Like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So they're, like, fighting in each other's face.
Well, she's like, I did, and you should stick up for me regarding Danielle. I mean, this is funny because only, like, 2 weeks ago, Teresa was mad at her brother for sticking up for Melissa in the stupid restaurant feud that they had, where she's like, oh, I'm so sick of people saying it's my wife. I'm going to stand up for my wife. Well, it's like, and here she is saying, you should stood up for me. So Teresa is up. Dolores is up. Danielle is up. A chair falls over. Everyone in the restaurant's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
The poor family behind them is just trying to get through their calamari. The mom is like, why am I bleeding from my eye? What happened? Am I bleeding from my eye? I can only see red.
Melissa is screaming, and you're still walking her show. You're still walking her show. And then Dolores is like, you don't tell me what to do. And Margaret's like, she's hurt. She's devastated. And Dolores is like, you know what? Shut up, Margaret, for 2 seconds. Just like 2 seconds. Just shut up.
And Margaret goes, okay, I won't.
You're inept.
And Siggy's like, do you even have a heart, Margaret? And she goes,
no, I don't got a heart. Call the Tin Man, okay? That's hilarious, okay? That's what I just you just got a Dorothy, okay? That's what happened to you right now.
And Danielle's like, well, the line has been drawn. Have a nice night, ladies. Shut up, Danielle. Just shut up.
And Siggy decides to to like hone in on her inner Aviva Drescher, and she's like, "The show is not about Kim D. It's about the people who died."
Something terrible happened in Paterson, New Jersey.
So Teresa has just shattered this wine glass against the public wall in the restaurant. A lady's eye is bleeding. Siggy and Dolores are marching out of there like, "Oh, killer." And then everyone at the table is suddenly calm again. And Teresa's like,
"My wine."
Fuck off. What is wrong with you?
I know. And then Teresa's like, "You know, I want to go to the fashion show to confront Kim D. I'm going to give a piece of my mind." And Daniel's like, "I'll come with you." And then like, "Melissa, you come too?" And Melissa's like, "No, no." And then, of course, she's like, "Yes." Which felt a little staged to me. Like, it felt a little bit like, hey, like, but I'm fine with it. I'm 100% fine with it. I am down for a big showdown at the posh fashion show.
This whole thing was so hilarious because they're going crazy, right? And then they go, "Next time." And Teresa's screaming and yelling and like knocking over chairs. Like she's in full Teresa ape mode, you know, just like knocking down the Empire State Building. And she's like, "That's what you guys are hanging out with. Fuck you." And then it cuts to Teresa going,
"For more about the housewives, go to BravoTV.com.
Like, Jesus. Like, talk about bipolar. My God.
This is what we want. This is what we've been wanting for several years. And it's finally back. New Jersey is back in its prime. It is back at elite status. The show, the prodigal show, has returned. And I'm very, very happy. It's what we need right now.
Yeah, well, we got what we needed, everybody. That was an hour and 15 minutes of Real Housewives of New Jersey, which is insanity. But, God, that was fun. Everybody.
It was fun.
Go to watchyourcrappins.com for all the live show tickets.
We are not doing a show tomorrow because we have a million shows next week. And also, we covered all the shows for this week on Bravo because Marriage Medicine wasn't on. So we'll be back next Friday again. The schedule will be returned. Crappin's mailbag will be back next week. And and go buy those tickets. Go buy that merch tomorrow. It's going to be so exciting. We're coming to see all of you. All of you.
We love you guys. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
After more than a decade in London, Danny Fortson has packed his bags and returned to Silicon Valley, which is why they called the podcast Danny in the Valley. The program meets the techies trying to change the world and those who have or want to make loads of money while doing it. The team from Danny in the Valley are truly delighted to be part of Bose Recommends. Danny covers topics like how criminals make more from hacking than drugs, explains cryptocurrencies for you, and delves into the massive issue of gender inequality within the tech industry. Recent episodes have featured conversations with Twitter co-founder Ev Williams.
The internet now, I just see, is much more reflective of the real world.
Uber's Francis Fry.
Honoring and understanding what was said. Honor sounds like a crazy word for it.
And Slack co-founder Cal Henderson.
It was very small. There weren't many people who were kind of into the web at the turn of the millennium.
Danny in the Valley drops every Saturday. You can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts in even better sound quality, visit Bose.co.uk. Bose. Get closer.